Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. We welcome each and every one of you, and especially those of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you do feel welcome and that you will come back to visit us often. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you'll give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. This is the first Sunday of Advent. We've got a lot going on in the life of the church this week. Remember, tonight will be the Hanging of the Green service beginning at 6:30. Also, Wednesday night, we will continue our Wednesday gathering series, beginning at 5:15 with the meal. The program begins at 6:15. The program this week will be a presentation by the Board of Trustees and the Finance Committee on changes to come with the 2008 budget. So it's very important that you be there and hear that presentation and understand how we're going to handle budgeting for this upcoming year. Also, the meal proceeds from the meal from the gathering will be used, all of the proceeds will go toward Wesley Runyon's trip to Italy. Wesley is representing Main Street United Methodist Church as a part of the South Carolina Conference Choir, and they will be traveling to Italy this summer. So all of the proceeds from that will go toward Wesley's trip. Also, immediately following the service today, ornaments, ceramic ornaments, which have a picture of Main Street on the front of them, will be available for sale. Again, the proceeds from these ornaments will go for Wesley's trip to Italy. So those will be available just outside the sanctuary immediately following the service today. They're $12 a piece, so you can pick one of those up. Also, next Sunday, immediately following this service, we will have a church-wide dinner. The proceeds from that dinner will be used for the January Honduras medical mission trip, which Dr. Skinner will be taking. I think this is about the fourth or fifth year in a row that he's taken that. But the proceeds from that dinner will be used for supplies for that medical missions trip. Those also will be available outside the sanctuary. Those are $6 apiece. Additionally, next Saturday morning, there will be a breakfast with Santa for the kids, and that is being sponsored by the Mud Pies Creative Learning Program. Tickets for that are available in the church office. Also, the youth are putting together care packages for our college students, and they are in need of shoeboxes, and not only shoeboxes, but items to fill those shoeboxes, so index cards, highlighters, pens, snacks, drinks. And they need those in the church office by this Wednesday so that they can get them to our college students who are studying and preparing for exams. So if you would please help them out in that matter. And now Larry Moore, our director of music, will give you some direction on Advent.
During the season of Advent, at the conclusion of the lighting of the Advent candle, we will be doing a new Advent wreath song. And you see that as an insert in your bulletin, this Advent chant. The Advent chant is a round, sort of like row, row, row your boat. And this is the way it works, and we're going to take a second to teach this to you. First, the first time through, everybody sings the song together. The second time, group one which is over here and will be led by Anne, begin singing. If you look at the insert, when you see the number 2, you're group 2. And when they get to the number 2, we start from the beginning. And then we sing the song 2 more times. Is that clear as mud? Let's try it one time. Joyce, if you could play that opening line for us, please. And everyone together. Twilight and darkness, night falls and candles glow, gently surrounding us, a new birth of hope. Watching, waiting, awakening, a new birth of hope. Surrounding us, a new birth of hope. Watching, waiting, awakening, a new birth of hope. Twilight and darkness, night falls and candles glow, gently surrounding us, a new birth of hope. Thank you.
Please stand for the call to worship. God calls us to worship Him. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Thank you.
Please be seated and join me in the invocation. Eternal and most holy God, we praise and honor you as we gather in the name of your dear Son, Jesus. During this Advent season, we sense your nearness in the songs we sing and in the words we hear from Holy Scripture. May your light and peace radiate about us and within us as we worship you today. We praise and thank you for this house of worship and this body of your church. In expectation and joy, we worship you now and each day until Jesus returns to claim his own. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, I want to lift up a few names in a special way. We need to be in prayer for the families of Graham Rogers and Reynolds Griffin, who passed away this past week. For Nancy Morgan, who had emergency surgery and is recovering. For Peggy Ackerman, who had to go back into the hospital, but her doctor says no visitors, but we may pray for her. For Bill Nicholson, who wishes to be home but remains in national health care. And for Sally Maxey's daughter, Gina, who had surgery this past Friday. Let us be in prayer for these special concerns as well as our own private concerns as we lift them up together to God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, it has just turned December and already we are tired. Expectations for parties and presents have never been higher. How can we measure up? Lights are twinkling and blinking, and yet there is so much darkness all around. We reach to you in prayer for something real, for something lasting, for hope and the peace that comes from faith and trust in you. Lord, we do remember how determined you were to come to us in Jesus Christ, even to a barn and a feeding trough and a cross and a tomb. We do believe that your love has come down to us, down to where we are. Touch us this day. Hold us, lift us up, and give us peace, give us hope, give us love and forgiveness overflowing out to others. We lift up the families who grieve in this season. We lift up the names of those for whom we are specially concerned, for the families of Graham Rogers, Reynolds Griffin, Joyce Bartless, for Nancy Morgan, Peggy Ackerman, for Gina, for those who wish to go home but cannot from nursing facilities. Lord, these names and many others we lift up in our hearts as we lift up our private prayers. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I believe that we're going to invite those who will light the Advent wreath forward and the children to come and observe and wait for the children's sermon.
We haven't practiced.
Today, we light the first Advent candle, the candle of hope, and we begin to wait.
Okay.
We are looking forward to something special. What can it be? When is it going to happen? When we light this candle, we wait. We watch, we wait, and hope.
This candle reminds us that the prophet Isaiah was longing for God's presence too. It reminds us that the people in the early church were also longing for God's presence. This candle is a symbol for our own longing for God to be with us. We wait in hope for God to surprise us and break into our lives.
Now, all together. Oh God, come travel with us through Advent. Give us courage to spread hope in the world. Amen.
Good morning. We decided we would do the Advent wreath a little different this year so that you all can see and maybe understand a little bit better about why we do that. We light a candle every week. Now, last week I gave you a star and asked you to put it beside your bed and remember to pray every night as we got ready for Advent, right? Does any of you remember to do that? Okay, well, you're going to get another try this week. The candle that we lit today is of hope. There were prophets that lived long before Jesus that God had sent the word to them to tell the people that a Savior was coming. And the people had spent years hoping for that person to come. So our word this week is hope. And I have a star that has hope written on it. And I want you to pray every night for the hope of the people waiting for Jesus to come. Okay? Can you do that? Can you try to remember to do that this week? Let us say a prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the prophets and their message of hope. Help us be that people who continue to hope for peace and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we'll ask Dr. Steve Skinner to come forward as the chairperson of stewardship, and he will be explaining our stewardship program, which begins and kicks off today, and speak to us for just a few moments.
Let me start by reading two verses from Paul's letter to Corinth. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. This is Paul speaking now. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Paul says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel. Should not the gospel of Jesus the Christ be the central reason for all that we do here at Main Street, the center of our worship, our programs, our missions, and our relationships? But what about Paul's statement, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some? How does this apply to us here at Main Street? I believe the message for us is that we have to be willing and prepared to bring the gospel of Christ to all people, wherever they are in their own walk in life or in their own faith journey. This means recognizing that we each have different needs or respond to different approaches based on our age, our experiences, and our level of faith. This may mean supporting a program or a mission or a worship program that is directed at someone else's needs more than our own needs or desires. Why? Because it serves God's will and plan and not ours. This requires a faith that Main Street is God's church and a faith that God is in control. Having this level of faith, a faith that becomes all things to all people, requires a faith that is obedient to God's will and a faith that steps out in action. This is a faith that leads to stewardship, a stewardship of all that God has entrusted to us. This is a faith that requires us to use our talents, our time, our service, and our wealth in a manner that allows Main Street to become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. If we can do this, we will truly be blessed, and we will be a blessing. I believe that Main Street is a people of faith, an obedient people, and a people of action. Commitment Sunday is December 16th, just two Sundays from now. I ask that you all prayerfully consider your response between now and December 16th. Thank you.
King shall come.
Now let us
continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your house. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you.
now God's word from the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now it's December the 2nd, and everyone is already celebrating Christmas, it seems, except the church. In our lectionary reading today, we have two moods for Advent. One is the coming of Christ, and one is the second coming of Christ, or Christ return. And today we hit Christ return. It's not very Christmassy, is it? But from the earliest church, and consistently through the Gospels and the Epistles and the Revelation of John, there's a constant theme that Christ will come again. When will he come again is the question. No way of knowing is the answer. What to do in the meantime? Be found living out Jesus' message of love, forgiveness, compassion, and grace. But the truth is, we do get bored with that, probably because we haven't done it very much. It is never boring to enter honestly into the needs of another human being. It is scary, but it is not boring. It is costly in time and talent and treasure, but it is not boring. Now, I read what I think is a funny little story I ran across, and the first time I read it, I heard the woman in the illustration as Gladys Turner's voice. And I asked Gladys if I could use it, and I think it's funnier if you hear it that way. It has nothing to do with her personality, just her voice, somehow. It was a rainy Sunday afternoon, and Martha Finch was bored silly. She didn't know what to do with herself. Then the telephone rang, and a voice said, "This is State Trooper Sergeant George Kowalski speaking. I'd like to speak with Miss Martha Finch." "Oh," said he, "this is Martha Finch speaking." And then the man said, "I'm sorry to tell you this, but I have an arrest warrant charging you with a failure to answer a traffic summons. I'm going to have to come get you." And she said, "Wonderful. How soon can you come and get me?" She was bored out of her mind, you see. It's funnier than that. With all that we have and all that we have to do, we still get bored. Now, my sister, who some of you met at my 50th birthday party, my sister confessed a few years ago at a family gathering what I suspect is a truth larger than just hers. She said that sometimes when things are going extremely well in her life, when everything is peaceful and finances are fine and emotions are fine, relationships fine, her daughter's fine, and all's right with the world, sometimes, she said, "I get bored. And I start a fight for no reason at all." Raise your hand if you do that. In the early service, my wife did. Okay. She raised her hand. Robert Frost wrote, "Something there is that does not love a wall and wants it down." I think, and it's not a good thing, but there is something in us that does not really like peace, and we stir things up. I don't know why, but I'm sure. I am sure that we get bored and start unnecessary trouble as a species, as a human race. We are restless and we are never satisfied and we want targets. We want somebody to blame, somebody to answer for our restlessness, for our troubles, for our boredom. And when we lack a crisis, we make one up. And that's why I believe we rush into Christmas a little early. But to me, as I see it, Christmas comes very close to awakening those feelings of true faith. Because the Christmas dream is that we can become again like little children. And faith also encourages us to become like little children, trusting with hope against hope that somehow someone who loves us will come and make it all come out okay. The Christmas dream and the Christian faith do intersect at that point. Childlike trust and childlike recognition that we need someone bigger and better than we are to make things right. As children, we knew something of peace and trust and hope. If we can remember, as children, we knew that before the world beat it out of us. As an adult, I am convinced that there is something wrong with all of humanity. And you do not need a theology of the fall, and you don't need to believe in sin and selfishness. You need only a history book and a daily paper. There also seems to be some tediousness to having all you ever wanted. Have you noticed how the rich and famous seem to sabotage their wealth and their fame and their health? It seems that boredom sets in and takes over and drives people from excess to excess. And we see them on TV being taken off to jail, being taken off to rehab, being taken off to hospital. I think they know what we only suspect. You ask, as they're being carried off, why can't they be happy with their mansions and with their children and all their stuff? The answer is, I believe that they know for certain what we only suspect. They know that all the money and all the fame in the world cannot give you peace and will not make you happy. So often the modern dream of success is to have a gated house high on a hill and be locked away from others. Isn't that the precise opposite of what Jesus said? Our job description is to be out there in the world, among the people, sharing His love, offering the gospel, and living compassion, even with our enemies. We are to be those who seek to be neighbor to the ones in need, to their physical and to their spiritual and to their emotional needs. If we follow Christ, we cannot call a house on a hill cut off from others a success. Frederick Buechner wrote the following. It's about the second coming, but it ties this all together, I hope. He said, "Who knows how He will come or when or where? He says Himself, of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only." People who search a timetable and try to crack the book of Revelation or like a code are on a wild goose chase, he writes. People who claim that all who join their sect will be saved and all others are lost are wrong. The ones who will be saved, Jesus says in the very next chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, are the ones who feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the prisoners. If you love, in other words, you're in. If you don't, you're out. Reread Matthew 25 as you get home today and see for yourself. There are some strange individualistic theologies around which claim to be Christian. But if it is entirely for you and you alone and does not require any response or any reaching down in the ditch to lift up your broken brother or the broken stranger, then I submit to you it is not what Jesus taught. We have, and we know, we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts which nothing else will fill. And we know in our hearts that something better than this was meant for our world and for our lives. We yearn for a world at peace, for relationships at peace, for our hearts connected to something greater than ourselves and to others we can love and who will love us in return. Not just on rare moments, but always. We yearn for something the world has never known. We're almost nostalgic for something we have never had. And Jesus taught us to pray for that day by saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We pray for that day because it is not done yet, and it has not fully come yet. Not yet. And so even in the valley of the shadow of death, God is there. We believe. And faith that is placed in any building or any friend or government or self-help group or ideal or political party will ultimately disappoint us, because the only one who stands outside of our world, who purposefully moves it toward a good end is God. And when in God we trust, our souls and our bodies are connected to the God who stretches throughout history past into history future, a strong cable that is unrustable, unbreakable, unbendable, and utterly reliable. We believe that in the beginning there was God, and in the end there will be God. Everything will be shaken in our world, the earth, the heavens, the politics, and even our very lives. But in the end, there will be God. You know, nobody gets out of here alive. None of us. We believe in something better than survival, though. We believe in the power of God in Christ to make all things new, even us. And that's where our trust is. That's who our trust is in. When will we need that trust most? Every day. Every day. So be ready, be found faithful, trusting in God, loving as Jesus loved, even when it cost you, and maybe especially when it cost you. I read this passage as a passage of hope. It says when you think you've hit the bottom, when you think that that you've come to the end of the road, when you've reached a dead end, when you're at the end of your rope, you should not be surprised that God is there giving you hope, giving you hope. There's an expression I came across called prisoner of hope. And it came from an African-American scholar, Cornel West, a teacher and an author. And he was lecturing on American culture, and he came about the expression this way. He was talking about the whole landscape, from democracy to rap music, from drug addiction in the inner city to wealth addiction in the suburbs, from the false promises of materialism to the plight of homelessness. And during the question and answer period, Dr. West was asked about the dismal state of our inner cities, the depressing poverty and the plight of our young. And he responded, "I am not optimistic, but I am hopeful. I'm not optimistic, but I am hopeful. We cannot fix these problems tomorrow or next week, but we can make a difference. The future is open. It's not determined. As a Christian, I am a prisoner of hope, because in Jesus, God has taken hold of us and will not let us go. Nor will God let us quit. Jesus faced the cross, trusting in God's resurrection power. And so I am not optimistic, but I am hopeful." He said he was a prisoner of hope. And Jesus was a prisoner of hope, and he calls us to become prisoners of hope, no matter what. Even a cross, even a tomb. Even the end and beyond. We trust and hope in God. And in the meantime, we have work to do. "Thy kingdom come," Jesus taught us to pray. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And now I invite you to keep the feast until his coming again. Amen. I ask you to turn to page 12. And those who have been asked to assist me, please come down front. All the way around here. I need you here. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Now let us briefly pass the peace. Okay. Let me have this. Okay. You work with Dave?
Because we have no history of working together. Because we have no history of working together.
Okay, that's fine.
You work with that.
Right. Your mic is on.
My mic is on.
Oh,
great. Okay. David, you come over here. Well, you just stay right here for now. I'll serve you guys first. Okay. Please join me at the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Excuse me. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving, as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Body of Christ. We will conclude with the closing hymn, number 206. Receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through the babe of Bethlehem, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the presence of God in this moment giving comfort and guidance through the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.